Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Sing it like this. Until the storm clouds pass on over, till the thunder rolls no more, till the lightning has gone forever from the sky. Guide my feet, Lord, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me, Lord, till the storm goes by. Sing it again. Until the storm cloud pass on over, until the thunder rolls no more, till the wind has gone forever from the sky. Guide my feet, Lord, hold my hand. Lead me, Savior, and let me stand. Keep me safe till the storm goes by. You can be seated. Hearing Brother Taylor read the letter from Jonathan reminds me of a call. You can be seated. Reminds me of a call from Raymond. I don't remember what his last name is, but he's Peter Paletta's brother. He was here one time with us and was going along pretty good. And he called me yesterday, I believe it was, and he said that he had gotten into some serious problems and had 5 years mandatory to pull in prison. And said, I'm married, Brother Pike, been married about 2 years, and my wife now is leaving me for another man since I'm in prison. And he said he tried to escape and they shot at him, and he told him just to shoot him and kill him, said, I don't have anything to live for anyway. But they didn't shoot him. And he was pleading for me to pray for him and saying, if I get out of here, whenever I do, I sure want to come to Little Bethlehem if you'll let me come. But I thought how sad it is. You know, our youth everywhere is being taken into prison and things is happening to them. And even though I talk with them and I tell them, it's like the people that come here, other people that come here. I talk to them and I tell them. But there's something about it that every individual feels like they're different, that they know and that they understand and they can make it work. But folks, nobody is a match for Lucifer. God made Lucifer and he's the only one that can handle Lucifer. And the only way you can handle Lucifer is through the Spirit of God. And if you don't try to handle him through the Spirit of God, you don't handle him. We got a call just before we left out tonight. Betty there in the office, they called her in. There's a Baptist minister's wife that was asking for prayer and said she was really going through an experience. And I don't even know exactly what Betty and the woman talked about, but she wanted us to pray for her, and we did. And it seemed like that God reassured her of hope and help. But people everywhere are being shook. It's one of the greatest shaking times that has ever been on the face of the earth. We preached the other night on the great shaking, whereas God not only would shake the earth, but in this day he would shake heaven and the earth. And then, of course, Betty, Joseph, they had a magazine over the late evening reading it, and the title of it was Hell on Earth. And speaking of Rwanda and the problems of Rwanda and the things that's happening. Folks, I told you here a few years ago, I said things is fixing to break open like you've never seen in your life. And it's going to be a terrible nightmare. And everything is going to be shook. Even the very heavens is going to be shook. The beginning of sorrows is here. And the great hour of temptation is here. All these things are beginning to happen. We're already in them. It's not like they're going to happen. We're already in the midst of them. And people are being deceived more and more. And I'm not talking about people out Chunda in the world. I'm talking about Bethlehemites. They're being deceived more and more and more. And though they are positive in their minds and heart that they are the ones and they're on their way to heaven, they are still being deceived. So many of them, and they're still not walking in the light and going on with God. And it's so sad because you can't tell them, you can't explain to them. They harden their heart because iniquity is at an all-time high. It abounds. Then the love of many is waxing cold, and colder their love toward spiritual things is waxing. So then it's a bad situation. It's a sad time. But there's one thing about it. We got a job to do, and we just gone doing our little bit and trying to keep things intact the best that we know how, because the hour's here. The time is here. I told them in the last men's meeting that I said, well, the end of the world's here. I don't get a chance to elaborate much on the end of the world, of how it comes, how the world got started, where it's at right now in its stride, and where it will end and how it will end. I don't get a chance to go through that much. But to say the least, people, at least the people I've been acquainted with and know about, I've never heard anybody express the end of the world, what's going to take place or how it's going to come about. Never. Ministries around the world. But it is given. And we're privileged to get it, and you have a right to it just like I do, and they have a right to it. But sometimes we don't make ourselves available to these kind of things, and because of that, we don't understand them. And it isn't because God won't give it to you. It's just that you don't make yourself available for these kind of things. But it is on us, and I said it's right now moving in. And this little letter came the following day, I believe it was, or in the last couple of days. It came into our hand, came to Betty's office, and she put it in my hands, and I had it read to some of the brethren last night, and I brought it along tonight, and I thought it might be of interest to you. The things that we spoke of coming to pass is heading up exactly the way that we said it would head up. It's coming to pass exactly to the T, through the channels and by the means, as in detail, like we said. And even though this might sound foreign to you, the letter might sound foreign to you, you might not believe it, and it could never happen, but from all that it states here, it already is happening, and it's for sure that it's going to happen because of what I understand in God. Things are shaping up now at this time, and this is just one of the proofs that it is happening to you right now. Everything's in order for it right now. So I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come back down here and read this if he will, and while he's reading it to you, you can consider whatever it's worth to you. It's just a letter that I just want to share with you, and you can consider for whatever it's worth to you. And you that believe in the message of the Lord here, you need to think these things over. Brother Taylor. Let's just give Brother Taylor our undivided attention for a few minutes. Praise God.
This is taken from the William J. Murray Report of June 1994. And the head caption says, would you accept money to wear the mark of the beast? For the first time in history, Americans are going to be required to carry an electronic identification card. The Clinton Medical Plan requires Americans to carry a card at all times with a magnetic strip that identifies them and contains an enormous amount of other information. The most devastating blow to the liberty of Americans is about to be struck by a federal government that wants to be equal to God. Americans are about to lose a major part of their freedom. The medical security card Hillary Clinton has designed has a magnetic strip on the back of it. That strip will contain your social security number, your driver's license number, your place of work, and what your salary is, the location of your home, the names and addresses of your children, and all your medical records. Under the Clinton plan, you will not be able to obtain any medical care unless the card is presented. Further, the doctor will not be allowed to prescribe medication or treat you without the permission of the government. Your card will be run through an electronic reader. The information will be transmitted to Washington. The doctor will type in what he believes should be done. Then a clerk in Washington will tell the doctor what he is and is not allowed to do. Hillary Clinton calls the clerk who makes the final decision on your medical care, quote, the gatekeeper, end quote. The gatekeeper will decide how valuable you are to society compared to what your medical needs are. If your illness is life-threatening, the gatekeeper will decide if you are to live or die. You will play no part in your treatment. You cannot go to another doctor. You will not be allowed to pay for treatment the gatekeeper does not authorize. A doctor who accepts money for private treatment not authorized by the gatekeeper will be arrested and jailed. Satanists worship an angel called the gatekeeper. In Satanism, the gatekeeper is second in command to Satan himself. Why did Hillary Clinton pick this name to describe those who will make the life and death decisions in the lives of Americans? Without the gatekeeper's card, you will not be able to obtain employment. Your children will not be allowed to go to a school unless they produce the card. You will not be able to renew your driver's license or obtain life or auto insurance unless a valid card is presented. Of course, the Congress has exempted itself from the law. Worse, and this is all caps, by the year 2000, the government could have this card reduced to microdot size that can be implanted under the skin between the thumb and forefinger of your hand. This will allow an electronic reader to obtain all the information when it scans the back of your hand. How convenient this microdot would be for the government to take care of you. There will be no private doctors under the Clinton plan. If you don't carry the gatekeeper's card, you cannot get medical help. If you are injured, the ambulance will leave you dying in the street unless you have the card. You will be fired from your job if you refuse to participate and carry this job, this card. If you own a business and refuse to participate, the government will shut down your business and put you in jail. As of now, the Clinton plan calls for a 2-year jail sentence for anyone who refuses to participate. I ask again, how much is free medicine worth to you? How much money does the government have to give you so that you will submit to wearing this mark? Who will pay for this free medicine? The money will be taken from you forcibly and then given back for inferior medical care only if you wear the mark of Hillary's gatekeeper. Warn those around you, copy and distribute this warning to everyone you know. The Clinton plan must be defeated. We must keep private medicine and allow for private medical insurance with no government identification card forced on us.
I just brought this along so that we can read it to you. You could think it over because the end of the world is here. And everything is shaping up, and like we told you here a while back, the things that we talked to you about was that the tribulation period was laying right in there on us. And everything showed it, and we've tried to take it step by step to try to show you what was happening. And I know a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'm just of this opinion that we are not going to know. But I keep telling you, the Bible said, as a snare shall it come upon all of them that dwell on the earth, but not upon us. We who are children of light will know when it's nigh, even at the door. He means for us to know. Others won't know. They won't understand. It's like that card. They're not going to refuse that card. anything that's given to them, they'll accept it. Now, someone would say, well, you don't know how long that's going to be. I really don't know how long that's going to be. See, and another thing, they have to pass on the plan first. They have to vote on it as to bring this plan into effect. But the thing is, the man is getting by with, well, we say everything but murder. It sounds like murder. As to that woman that they put in there that is a sodomite and that had those people killed down yonder, the attorney general. It appears that she had them killed and then got up and voiced her opinion and said, I want all the immigrants coming to America to know that if they're sodomites, they have a welcome here and a refuge here. So they are accumulating fast. They're coming together fast, and their strength is being brought out front fast as to their unity. This is the thought, that if it is true as to what we just heard in this letter, if these things are true, then if that mark, according to what we understand, will be pressed upon the people in the middle of the week of Daniel's last week, then the church has to get out of this world first. The church has to go out of here. And the middle of Daniel's week denotes the Antichrist coming up, Revelation 13. The beast comes out of the water, kills the two prophets, and Jesus, chapter 14, beckons to the 144,000 that was sealed to the first of the week to come up to Mount Zion, and they receive the new blood cell, which means they're sealed in. And after that, the angel says, time no more. The vine is cut down, gathered into the winepress of Almighty God, which is the Valley of Armageddon, just outside of the city of Jerusalem. And the winepress of Almighty God, it's called, and they trod the winepress without the city. So in this, if that is true, that that's to come to pass then, that when this power comes into effect, that the first thing that he does is seize upon the things as to the card for the number. Or whatever we said, it would come through a social security number, come through a card, and then work its way on down as to the laser. See, and now already it's coming to that. Everybody is card-minded. Get a card. Get an American Express. Get Exxon card. Get some kind of a card. You know, you can spend plastic, they say. Now, with that coming like that, that means about 3.5 years it would be before this thing becomes effective as to Antichrist, that the church has to leave from here. Are you listening? The church of the living God has to be sealed in before then. Can you imagine that if this thing is that close, if it's that close right now, I know God let something happen to hinder it, to keep it the right time. But can you imagine if it's that close right now, that it's already in Congress to that extent, can you imagine how close the translation and the rapture is? See, this is why I keep preaching to you the way I preach to you, that the translation is taking place. You don't understand, and I know you don't understand, and I know you don't understand why I say that you don't understand. And I know it's repulsive to you, and I understand that, and I'm not upset with you about it. I know how you feel. But the thing is, it's true. What I'm telling you is true. Again, we'll go to Revelation 5:1, the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, there was a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. These things that I'm making mention of tonight is for the Bethlehemites. You know, I preach here, and of course this goes on tape, and it goes into books and goes around the different parts of the world, which has been our privilege to preach to people around the world. But the thing is, people at Bethlehem, they don't seem to feel like this really belongs to them, that they have to do these things. They just take it for granted. You know, we're Bethlehemites, and everything is well with us, and we're going to make it in. We're going to make the translation. And a lot of them are not doing anything to make the translation. They're not doing anything whatsoever about going to heaven, as we say, or making the translation, or growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not making any effort to be holy, Whereas the Bible said, take time to be holy and to be holy, for I am holy, and to be holy in body as well as spirit. And Paul said, I seek to present you body, soul, and spirit blameless. But they're not really taking any time to do any of that. And yet they're accepting the fact that all is well with them and that they're going to make it into the kingdom of God. But see, folks, you've got to remember that I'm preaching to you. I'm not out there preaching to Africa. I'm not out there preaching to Germany. I'm not out there preaching to some other place. I'm preaching to you at Bethlehem. You're the Bethlehemites and you're listening to this. And I'm preaching to you that you are the ones that's going to be left. See, you are the ones. Somebody said, no, Brother Pike, if we're listening, we won't be left. I promise you that you are the ones that's going to be left. Because to whom much is given, much is required. And God has given a tremendous amount of things to you and is requiring a tremendous amount of things. And the Bible said that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did not do it shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, I don't know whether you've ever got many stripes or not. Maybe you don't know what it means to even get any stripes. But I know what it means to get many stripes. I've been beaten with many stripes. And if you ever go by the whipping post just a little bit, after that you won't be so haughty, you won't be so lifted up, you won't be so conceited, you won't be so sure that you know and that you can make it and that you can handle it. When God puts you by the whipping post, He'll put you by the whipping post. All down through the years, He's put me by the whipping post. And I'm grateful. I'm not sorry at all. I'm not sorry of any of the chastisement that my dad gave me or my mother gave me. When I look back, I thank God for it. And I say, Lord, I'm so glad that my mother and daddy chastened me. You said, beat the child and you'll save his soul from hell. You won't kill him. And if you spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. And God didn't spare the rod. He didn't spare the rod. I'm glad He didn't spare the rod because I don't want to be spoiled. I want to do what He wants me to do. So then it's up to you as the Bethlehemites or the people of Bethlehem to get into this thing and to understand this thing because you're going to be chargeable. And I want to remind you once again that in our Nevada meeting that I only saw enough people that I could count perhaps on my one hand that made the translation out of all those people I saw. Whereas it appeared that it was bombs that was bursting. Paul spoke of shaking the heavens, Revelation, in the 8th chapter. It denotes that the heavens will be shaken until the stars fall. And I saw very few as the earth would light up toward the evening time or night. As the earth would light up by the flashes of what appeared the bomb of great lightning, I could see the figures and I could see the people off in the distance. And I could tell that these few people, just as many perhaps as I could count on one hand, was beginning to be translated and begin to lift up from the earth. So it's a frightening thing. Few there be that find it. See, I could go into a lot of detail every time I went to preach. When I come here, I just kind of go through a little sermonette time and time again. Get a little bit on the tapes for the radio and a little bit that they can put in books and a little bit that you can hear and a little bit that just to stir you. But sometimes for hours, I speak to a few here and there during the day, maybe again and again and again during the day at different intervals, trying to bring just enough to them to where they can get a hold of it. And with all of that, it still barely scratches the surface as to what God is telling me about these wonderful, marvelous things. So then it's up to you as to whatever you do with it. I'm not telling you that you have to do all of this to repent of your sins. I'm not telling you that you have to do all of this to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you that you have to do all of this to become a Christian. I'm telling you that when you become a Christian, as to simple repentance and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that this is the proof that you are a Christian, that you really did believe and not make believe, that this nature of Christ will show forth in you to a hunger and a thirst after this word day and night, and it won't cease to hunger. It'll always be there. You'll be hungering and thirsting after the things of God. And the Bible said, if you thirst after the things of God, if you hunger after them, then you shall be filled. And you'll have this nature all the days of your life to hunger and thirst. And you won't care about the natural things. And you won't care about your natural visage and your natural face. You won't care about the money and the prestige and the things of this world. You won't care about it because you will be a Christian. You will want Christ as mind and Christ as love and Christ as understanding. And you'll want to do something for God. And from early morning till night, your thoughts will be continually, I want to do something, Lord. I want to love you, Lord. I want to pray. I want to walk in the ways of Christ. I want to do something for my fellow man. I want to do something for God. And your whole makeup, your day, your thoughts, every intent of your heart, the reflex of your mind, the impulses of your body will be to love the Lord with all of your heart. And like I told the brethren the other night, I said, you better forget about buying and getting the things of the world. God will add all of these things. He'll give you the very best. He'll add everything. You don't have to look for anything. He said, you seek the kingdom, I'll give the rest to you. And you better forget about going after these things. I keep telling you as a Christian, get it out of your system. Get it out of your mind. Because when you do that, you are perverted. And when you are perverted, you're going to be lost. Now, I know I say this a lot of times to allow for things that are right. You say, I'm doing this for God. That's fine. I have no objection. If you're laboring that you might have to give, if you're doing something for God, if you've got an operation for God, if your operation is for God, that's fine. But just because you say that, that don't mean your operation is for God. Just because you tell people that, because you act like that, because you come together, as you say, for that purpose, that don't mean you're doing anything for God. That don't mean it's truth at all. See, but it... The child is known by his doings, and it's what you do for God every day with your time. And another thing, when you get so involved in the natural, carnal things of life, you are dead. I don't care what you're doing. You can give to God, you can go to church, you can do whatever you want to, but if you're not spiritually minded, if you're not hungering and thirsting after the things of God, you're still dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin while you live. For the carnal mind is enmity with God, which means that if you are worldly minded with the love of the world in your heart, or your mind is on the natural things of this world, that means that you are lost, because God is a spirit and does not relate to the world nor the things that are in the world. For the world and all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and Satan is the spirit of lust that saveth the things that be of the world. And if you relate to those things and you desire those things and you follow after those things, then you have the love of the world and you're carnal minded. And the Bible said your mind is enmity with the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God, and it won't even come near you. It won't even have any fellowship with you. The thing that caused Adam to lose out with God was the carnal mind, until he ate of the tree of knowledge and became intellectually minded and got his mind on the natural things and on the body and the passions. Adam was fine, but the very minute that he became carnally minded, the Shekinah glory of God, the covering of God, withdrew from him and left him there, and he was nothing but just a beast in the darkness, which means in the intellectual reasoning of carnality. And he was from that time lost from God, and God was searching for him, and he was dead. The day that thou eatest thou, thou shalt surely die. He was dead in trespasses and sin from that time on. And all of his children are the same. So you've got to be born again. And though you may say you're born again, and though you may say I have faith in God, still, it's like the woman that talked to me over the telephone. She said she had all kind of faith, but evidently she didn't have. She would not have been in the condition that she was in if she had all kind of faith. Because just a little bit of faith, where the woman touched the hem of the garment of Christ, she was healed that quick. And the Bible said if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Evidently, she didn't have all that kind of faith. See, so when it comes to saying, I am a Christian, when it comes to saying, I believe in God, that's easy to say. It's easy to come to church. It's easy to give in the offering. But folks, when it comes to deep down in your heart, not in your head, in your human senses, in your human reasoning, as to believe like any ordinary person would believe, to eat, to drink, to buy, to sell, to go, to get up, to sit down. See, not that kind of believing. The faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. When you get that faith in your heart, then you're born again. You're born again. And until you get the faith of Jesus Christ in here, you're not born again, because you don't have the righteousness of God. And to have the righteousness of God is to have the faith of Christ, because the Bible says the faith of Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. Now, turn my people from darkness, intellectual darkness, into light, Paul. Let this mind be in you that faith comes from. Have the mind of Christ. Listen to the Word. Receive the Word. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Word. You're predestinated in the Word. And faith is of the Word because the Word is Christ. And when the Spirit of the Word comes, it will testify of the Word. It will testify in deed. It will testify in word, your words, as to the Word of God itself. And it will cause you to conform to the Word and get the love of the world out of you. Because if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. So then that means that we need a divine love, agape love. Not loving the things of the world, but loving God, and He will give you the things of the world. He made all of the things for Adam, and Adam was a super intelligent that could name all of them, and he did. And he was a super strength that could endure without tiredness until he took on the carnal mind. And he was holy and godly, so that he and the Father was one as to the illumination of the presence of God, made in the God image and illuminated with the God image. See, but the thing is, we want to love things of the world, and we want to use God, or we want to love money and use people, when we should love people and use money, and we should love God and use things. A man's things are precious to him. The Bible said all that a man hath, it is precious in his sight if he be a wise man. He doesn't squander, he doesn't destroy, he doesn't throw away, but still he doesn't love those things. He sets his affection on things above, where thieves don't break through and steal and moth doesn't corrupt, knowing that wherever his treasures are, that will be his affection. That will be his desire. And so he lays up his treasures in heaven. He doesn't lay up his treasures on earth, where demon spirits of thieves break through and steal and rob. Because if you lay up your treasures in the earth, Satan's going to rob you of them. He's going to use them. He's going to bring IRS, or he's going to bring somebody to take away what you've got. He's going to do something. He's going to rob you of your health. And he's going to rob you of your life to where you're going to leave all your treasures, or rob you of your treasures to where it will not do you any good during your lifetime. So then the thieves and the robbers are there, and you need to lay up your treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. And it is with the heart that you love the Lord with all of your heart, and you believe with your heart unto the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which is the faith of Jesus Christ. So then, when we speak of the book, we're speaking of the redemption. Look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. My, there's so many things to say about this book and the deep mysteries of God. But just these little things of exhortation to go along with the letter and the moment that we're living in, and some milk of the Word just to get you to repent of your sins. Because we come here, you know, the Bible said, and they take pleasure in coming to the house of God, and they act just like they've done my will. He said, but they haven't. They haven't. See, if they've done God's will, why didn't they turn from their sins? You're supposed to turn from your sins. Somebody said, well, I don't know of anything bad I do. That doesn't have anything to do with it. The fact that you're carnal-minded is bad. When you have a carnal mind, it means death. Isn't that bad enough? The carnal mind puts you on death row. Isn't that bad enough? He that sinneth shall die. Isn't that bad enough that you're dying? And the thing is, when you come to the knowledge of the Word of God, like you Bethlehemites have come to, and many others that hear my voice, when you come to the knowledge of God, your soul dies then. The Bible said, then if you turn away after that you've come to the knowledge of God, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to the fire indignation of God that shall devour the adversary. So then when you come to the knowledge of God, then you die. You die. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. The day that thou eatest of the tree of knowledge, ye shall surely die. And the day that they eat thereof, God couldn't find them anymore. Death set in, and they found themselves cut off from God. And without the Shekinah illumination, they were dead in trespasses and sin, because they had sinned against God. And then all of her children died from that time on. All of her children died. And today all of their children are still dead. Everyone that's born into the world is dead. It's dead in trespasses and sin. And the only way in the world to get into the kingdom is you must be born again. How can I be born again if I am not dead? I must first be dead and you are dead in trespasses and in sin. And this is what gives you the opportunity to be born again, because you lost your life through the fall of Adam. That in Adam all have sinned and all are dead. And to Christ Jesus all are made alive as to a new birth. And the second man, Adam, as to the washing of the waters of regeneration, as from Adam's generation to Christ's generation, having been baptized into Christ, we put on Christ Jesus, and we have on the garment. We have on the garment that God said was tried in the fire, even the body of the Lord Jesus that went through the fire in our behalf. And he said, don't come into this wedding supper without that garment. I'll despise your image unless you're baptized into Christ, having been baptized into Christ. Paul said, having put on Christ, when you come before me, I'll accept that garment. Even as in the fifth seal, when the souls under the altar kept crying out, how long? He went to them and gave them his own body, which denotes Calvary, and them that died under the law, that could have not obtained under this righteousness. And the Bible said, without us could not be made perfect, because they had to wait for the seed of perfection to come, even the Lord Jesus, which went into the heart of the earth to preach to those souls and to give them his very body, because they could not get over death or over Jordan until they got his body. And he gave them his very body. And being in death, they were baptized in death into his body. And today we're baptized into death, into his body. The Bible speaks of the baptisms, plural, the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of fire, the baptism of the soul, the baptism of the body. See, and there we are baptized in his name when we go down to the river, into his death and into his life. We resurrect into his life. So then, if you've not put on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have the garment. You know, I'm reminded of the song that Dolly Parton wrote. Even she didn't know what she wrote. But having some religious background, I'm reminded of the song. She took that song from the scriptures of Joseph's coat of many colors. And I thought about Joseph's coat of many colors many times. I remember talking to the Lord, and I said, God, what is this Joseph coat of many colors? What is this Joseph coat? And the Lord spoke to me and said, it's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's Joseph. At the right hand of Pharaoh, nobody was greater in the throne than Joseph, except Pharaoh, who represented God. And Jesus made that plain. When Jesus came, he said, I do these wonderful things, but it's not I that doeth it, but my Father within me, for he's greater than I. And the only one in the throne was the great Spirit that was greater than that human body. And he said that coat of many colors was the body that you have to be baptized into. And when you're baptized into that body, you put that coat on. And this is the robe that God will accept. This is the coat that God will accept. That one that was tried through the fire. I said, well, then from whence come the many colors? And he said, the red man, the white man, the yellow man. These kind of things. All of these colors. See, these colors are denoted in the robe. And the Bible speaks of four winds being held back as to your four people there in the book of Revelation. Of your white and your red and your yellow and your black, all four of them being held back as to the winds. And these wrestling over the waters, each one of them trying to get control of humanity so they can set up a kingdom and rule. All of them are doing that. See, and they're held back, and God won't let them come together in a clash and war until after the 144,000 of the Jews is sealed. See, like the thing of Rwanda, hell on earth. People drinking out of the river where thousands of bodies are floating around, even their own little dead children, and taking cholera and being killed, one a minute, I believe they said. But they have to have water. People trying to get in there to them, trying to do something for them. So many organizations are trying to get in there, but they've never had anything like it, never before. See, Mr. President laughed at Mr. Bush for going to Somalia, feeding the people. He went in there in a gallant way, took our soldiers. He stopped the aggression and fed those people and won the respect to America and won God's respect. Then this man that was so smart that insulted and that wasn't worthy to dust his shoes, and the Gore fellow that come in, mocked and said he didn't take care of his business on the home front, meddling around in the affairs of the world as to international affairs, needed to do something on the home front, and God has not let the problem cease since he got in office. As to all over the world, he's got problems.
and he's having to go out there in the international affairs and can't do nothing with it, don't know what in the world to do with it. He hasn't done anything at all. I don't know of anything that he's done. I think he even sent 1,700 tons of rice, was it? I can't remember. Or maybe it's just 70 tons of rice. Whatever it was, he sent this great heap of rice in there. And they say that that didn't even get to the people that was being mistreated, that the enemy intercepted that. So God is not with the man. God hates his very image. And our people should have had enough sense to impeach the man to start with before he turned the whole world into a slime pit and into a slop hole. Pardon me if that sounds countrified. See, and he's doing exactly what we said he would do, and they didn't impeach him. Now, here we are facing a thing with him and Hillary as to this card that's coming up, that's loosening those evil spirits with the sting that the Bible spoke of, demon spirits in human bodies out of the bottomless pit, and releasing all of this corruption and bringing the wrath of God speedily upon us. Because we are a religious nation and no better, and allow for that thing and don't impeach the man. Going right on. By the time they do impeach him the way he's going now, if they do, it'll be such a terrible turmoil and such a sloppy hole as called America till he won't be fit to live in anymore. He has literally desecrated everything and wrecked it. And like the gatekeeper of the satanicism, see, that makes it obvious that Satan has to be somewhere if the gatekeeper is second in command. If it's working through the woman as to the many members, then Satan has got to be somewhere. And that's what I said concerning the man. It is Satan. Satan is in that man, and it's Satan that they've elected in, and it's Satan that's in control, and it's Satan that's corrupting, and it's Satan trying to project all of the filth of the flesh and the things of the world to where he can get complete control and be nothing but a playboy and just get into the filth. I think the last report we got was a military party where he went and stayed practically all night drinking and gambling, getting sloppy drunk, and went back to Washington the next day after gambling and whatever and drinking to try to take care of political affairs. And people don't impeach him. You know why? Because people have stooped to the same filth, and that's what they want. Now, that gives them the freedom to party and do what they want. They wanted to do it, and now the brakes is off and they can do it, and God's going to burn them with fire. He said, I'll cast her into a bed of adultery and I'll burn her children with fire. And she's turned out, America's turned out to be the great whore that's set upon many waters, which relates back to the powers of Catholicism that's going to prove that through the charismatic order and through Catholic teachings of every denomination coming in through these leading evangelists to come into one thing to make America as to the great whore that's set upon many waters. Rome being the keynote of it. So in this, we realize that America is at the close of the age, which means the church ages are over. I made the statement, I said, as long as America continues to protect the church, that's what God raised her up for. Mr. Washington separated church and state and put the militant there to protect the church and let the church decide their own curriculum for school and gave them their sovereignty, that we were not to be under the constraint of the United States government in any way, except that we wasn't to meddle with the United States affairs as to cause them any problems, and they didn't have any right to meddle in our affairs, that we are a sovereignty, we are another people, we have our own king, we have our own government, and that they were not allowed to mess with us. And Mr. Washington knew what had happened in the old country and the way they'd persecuted the church, and God had raised him up for this purpose. And prayed and prayed and had the separation of church and state. And another mighty man, Lincoln, and some of the other greats came along behind these men and tried to help preserve our liberties. And now the devil has come in and trampled all over the church. And I said, when they stop protecting the church and they turn on the church, God will let them be defeated and tear them down. And God is letting them be defeated and tearing them down. Ever since they turned on the church, God is tearing them into pieces. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. So it's very obvious that what is happening is that the people have become corrupt. And as in the days of Noah, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, having corrupted themselves, all of their thoughts are continually evil, as it was in the days of Noah. And so then that means that something is taking place and God is about to destroy the whole thing. Now, I'm just going to take a minute or two more here and then I'm going to try to close. The thing is, what are we doing? What are you doing? What am I doing about it? What are we doing? We say they're doing such and such, as to the contrary of what we're supposed to be doing for God. Then we say, well, what are we doing? Frankly, nothing. When we measure according to what they're doing, we're hardly doing anything at all. We're just sitting around waiting and talking about what we're going to do, talking about what we're going to do, and saying we're doing such, but really when it comes right down to it, of feeding the hungry, of taking care of the poor, of really having pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father, all kind of organizations are doing all kind of things. When it comes down to being holy and taking time to be holy, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to perfect our lives before God and to come out from the world, be separate from them, not to touch those unclean things that's under the curse, then we're finding that we're hardly doing anything. And tonight, I purpose in my heart that I was going to have Joe to come up here and say a few things. Joe just won't get up here as a rule. He never gets up to help me with anything. But I told him I was going to call on him tonight, so I don't know what kind of results I'll get. He always backs out. But I told him I was going to call on him anyway. So tonight, I'm going to ask Joe to come up here. And I'm going to say this as Joe comes up here. I want to do something for God. When we set this place up, we was feeding the hungry. We had a whole list of orphans that we took care of regular. And then each one of you started to drop in your orphan. And dropping your offering until every one or practically every one of them has been dropped. Yet you were eating like kings. You had businesses at the time that you dropped them. Thousands and tens of thousands of dollars coming in with regularity. You still dropped them. Now Joe might not even got here yet. He went to check on his little family. He had a couple of children sick. And of course he purposely might not have come back. He said he was coming to church until he found out I was going to call on him. So I don't know what he did. But anyway, I'm going to wait for a few minutes to see if he comes. Now, see, we dropped him. Why did we do that? I would get the brethren together, and I'd say, brethren, I think we ought to send a few thousand dollars over here to feed the people or help the people or feed the children or do something. And within just a little while, without any pressure, we had a few thousand dollars. And we did that with a regularity. And you abundantly was blessed and eat and drink and had new cars and had everything that you wanted. And the church was just bountifully overflowing. And then all of a sudden, you got stale. All of a sudden, you stopped. All of a sudden, you dropped them. All of a sudden, you went your own way and God took it all away. He took it all away. Now somebody said, well, that's bad. That's not the bad part of it. The bad part is when you lost out with that, you also lost out with your experience with God. You was losing your soul at the same time you was losing your prosperity. The Bible said when you serve God, whatever you do will prosper. And when you confess your sins and forsake your sin, all that you do will prosper. And when you don't prosper, that means that you're covering your sins and nothing you do will prosper. So you was losing your soul at the same time. He told him, when the Canaan, I'm going to prosper you in a great way. He said, but if you forget me, I'll drive you out of the country just like I did the others. And he did. About 70 AD, he scattered them to the four winds. And even until today, even over to about 48, 46 or 48, they were still scattered and still now are scattered to some degree. So then the question is, what are we doing? What are we saying? You've got all kind of problems. You're having all kind of problems. You gossip too much. You talk too much. You're doing things you ought not to. You think the wrong thoughts. Like Betty told the woman over the telephone. Said, your thoughts, you need to think the right thoughts, sister. See, it's your mind. Think the right thoughts. Let the mind of God be in you. Think the right thoughts. Meditate in His law day and night. Think holy thoughts, godly thoughts, virtuous thoughts. If anything have any virtue in them, think on these. If anything be lovely, anything be pure, think on these. That's what we're supposed to do. Where's your thoughts? Where's your thoughts? If you don't do that, you're going to have negative thoughts. Satan beat my brains out. I'm sick. I've got problems. I can't make it. And you know you're going to have those thoughts anyway, because you're going to have pain and misery. And judgment's going to come down to your house, because they're going to come. You want to say something about them, but you've got to control them. You've got to rise over them. No matter what comes, you've got to rise up above them. And in your heart have a conviction that no matter what it is, you've got to keep those thoughts straight and not negative. They've got to be positive in God. And you can't have this little book that you pick of somebody talking about positive thinking. That's a lot of nothing. That you can't think positive. You ought to have enough sense to know that you can't think positive. How can you take a negative film and say that's positive? You are a negative. You are born negative. You are born with the spirit of lust in you. The Bible said the spirit in you lusteth unto envy. Your heart is desperately wicked above all things. And as you think in your heart, so you are. And there's the poison of asp under your lips, and your eyes are full of adultery. And you can't cease from sin, and you've corrupted all of your ways, and your thoughts are continually evil. How then can you think positive? See, that's just a lot of rubbish. You think positive one way, and that's you get Christ is mine. There is no positive mind except Christ is mine. And when you get Christ is mine, you learn to think the Word of God and to love the Word of God and walk in the Word of God and to live the Word of God and make the Word of God manifest in your very mortal genes. The Bible said this heavenly treasure that we have in earthen vessels is to be made manifest in our mortal genes. So then this is what positive thinking is. And so then you've got to get rid of that old negative mind of yours, that old defeat of yours, because the Bible said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. And if you don't have faith and confidence in the Word of God, you don't have any victory. And if you have the kingdom of God within you, which is the nature of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, then you will have the right kind of thinking, because you'll let the mind of Christ be in you. And from that comes faith, and that's positive. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. All right, so then if you think negative, that's fine. If you think positive, that's fine. Whatever you are, that's what you're going to think. It doesn't matter what I preach to you or how long I preach to you. When I get through, you're going to think the way that you are. Because whatever you think, that's what you are. And whatever you are, that's the way you're going to think. And whatever you think, that's what you're going to do. And the child should be known by his doings. So no matter what I say to you, you're still going to be the same thing when I finish. So if you are the preordained of God from the foundation of the world, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. If you're Esau, then you're going to think negative. If you're Jacob, then you're going to think according to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let him that hath an ear, and everybody don't have an ear, but let him that hath an ear, as to the spiritual ear. Let him that hath an eye see, that is to say a spiritual eye. Having ears ye hear not, having eyes ye see not. Never as any time has it ever entered into your heart, never at any time, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Though you might be religious and you might come to church and you might say all kind of things, but never at any time with all of your religious activities have you ever entered into the things of God or had the things of God to enter in you. Never. Though the rain is upon you, though you see all these things, though you go to church, never has your eyes at any time been enlightened unless you have received Christ. All right. Now, Joe isn't here, I guess. I think he must not be here. Surely he would have come. Tonight, I wanted to make mention to you, whatever you do, it's your business. But Betty and I have promised ourselves that we're going to do something to help in Rwanda. Wanted to do something in Macon, and we kept waiting for a report from the Red Cross, because they said they would give us a report and let us work through them, and the church would get credit for it as to Christ. And they never did. And finally, at last, as to a contact of Macon, Georgia, they said they don't need anything. Maybe some of the surrounding areas still need something, but Macon said they don't need anything. They've recovered pretty much. Now, but the people in Rwanda, there's numbers and numbers of operations that's sending thousands upon thousands of dollars worth of stuff in there to them, numbers of different organizations, and the Red Cross doing whatever they can, and the military doing whatever they can. But there's still such a need. In one place is over 1 million. Another place, I believe, maybe 400,000 or something. And there's just so many refugees and so many people that need help. And we need to do a little something about it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, what can we do for such a great mass of people? You can't do very much, but it takes everybody to put it together like the little ants. And another thing is, It's not a matter. Somebody said, well, I think that they can make it. They've got enough help, Brother Pike. I'm sure that they can, and I know that they will. But the one that starved to death could be the very one that you were supposed to feed. And another thing is, I know that they will make it. But the thing is, you won't make it. This is not for their sake. This is for your sake. The little widow that gave unto Elijah, that wasn't for Elijah's sake. Elijah was already eating. He was the man with the power of God. He didn't need no widow to take care of him. But the Lord let him know that this little widow touched his heart with her son, and she had the right kind of heart, and that she was going to starve to death unless he went over and stirred her faith. And he did. And then her oil crews never give out. The mill barrel never did give out because she acted on faith and done something. So this is for your good. This is for my good. Pure and undefiled religion is for your soul, to feed the widows and the orphans and to go into all the world with the gospel and keep yourselves unspotted from the world. That's for your sake. That's why we do these things. As you've had a will, have a performance. So then we're going to ask them to come back up here to the organ or whatever, to the music. We're going to give you a chance to share. Somebody would say, well, I don't have anything, Brother Pike. I've already shared. I understand that. If you don't have anything, then that's fine. That's fine. Somebody said, well, we're hitting it tight and can't pay our bills. I understand that. But these folks are hitting it tight and they're starving to death. They don't hardly have any sinew on their bones anymore. They're in pitiful shape. So it's your bills or sinew for their bones. See, and the thing is, the reason you can't pay your bills is because you're not doing the things that I tell you. Somebody said, well, I don't see that. Well, you can see it if you look around. You'll find out. Somebody said, but we're doing all kind of things. No, you just think you're doing all kind of things. When you do the things God wants you to do, he said, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you'll not be able to receive. You'll have to share it with somebody. See, and it's a matter that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You may think that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, but you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. See, and what we need to do is get the cart back in the right place and get the horse back in the right place and then do what we're supposed to do, and you'll find out that the way it was when I taught you to begin with, and the good times, you'll have the same good times. You'll have the thing the same way I've taught you, and everything will be the same identical way, and you'll be going on with God and you'll be doing something for God. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. But anyway, we're not asking you to give any certain amount. The other night you gave $2,000 to the Filipinos, and I didn't ask for anything. I wasn't even expecting nothing like what you give, but you gave about $2,000 or more, for which I'm very grateful. But in this particular case, Betty and I's purpose is what we want to give. I'm not going to mention that to you tonight, but there's one thing about it. You can give whatever you can give, if it ain't but a penny, or whatever you can give, that's what we're expecting you to do. So we're going to sing a little chorus right here. Okay, you said something about Joe having a need for some help. Probably in pouring the walls out here. We got started on that building out there today. And the brethren last night gave a pledge about $3,000, was it? On a Monday night it was. I guess it was Monday night, about $3,000. And a great deal of that's already come in. So I asked them on a Monday night not to pledge if they didn't have the money. They were taking a pledge, and I said, don't do it, brethren, if you don't have the money, because God will provide the money. I don't have to have it to build that building. I can build it. And I had no more spoke about building the building the other day until God opened up something just like that with thousands of dollars. See, but the thing is, what are you doing? What are you planning to do? What are you planning to do? All right, let's stand together and let's sing a little chorus. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While others
thou art calling. Oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me now. Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while on others thou art called, oh, do not pass me by. Sing it with me now. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition. Oh, help mine unbidden. Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble? The altars are open. While on others thou art born. Oh, do not pass me. Once more, sing it with me. Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? While on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass. Once more, sing it with me. Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry? And while others that are called, oh, do not pass. One more time together. Sing that with me now. Savior, Savior, won't you my humble cry? And while others thou art called, oh, do not pass me. Go leave it there. go and leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it again. Go leave them there. Go and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Refuge trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Let your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain. And you have to get along on bigger bed. Just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. Go and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And if you'll trust to never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.
While we're praying and talking to the Lord, think it over tonight. Have you got pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father? Is your desire to do something for Jesus? I appreciate the way that my brethren came hurriedly down to the altar. The other night I was so disappointed when somebody came to the altar. As a matter of fact, my own family coming down to the altar. And hardly anybody came to kneel with them to pray. And somebody came and told me that they were amazed. They couldn't hardly believe it. And I saw them come so tonight. And I appreciate that so much. And then some of my sisters coming down to the altar. I appreciate this from my heart. You know, if you've got God in your heart and you're wanting to do something for Christ, you can do it. The whole world is lying in darkness tonight and you're children of light. You're the eternal ones with eternal life. And tonight, let's let the light shine so men may see our good works. It takes effort, folks. As you've had a will, have a performance. It takes effort coming to God. It takes effort to pray. It takes effort to fast. It takes effort to study the Word. If you're going to make a salary every week, it's going to take some effort. Get down to business and put some of that effort in God. See, put some effort in God. Tell people of God. Tell people of the sanctuary. Tell people of what you're doing. You tell them of the message. Talk to them about God. Brothers and sisters alike, testify to them about God. Pass out some literature. Do something to bring people to God. Win a soul. He that winneth souls is wise. And someday shall shine as the brightness of the noonday, as the stars in heaven forever and ever. So do something for God. I went the other day up to the cafe. Brother Joe and Chuck, they wanted me to go to the cafe and eat a little lunch with them. And I'd already eaten. I ate breakfast early, late that morning. But I still felt led to go up there with them, and I went up there with them. And when I got up there, it was dark where they had they'd hung up some covers over the windows to keep the sun out to kind of preserve the cool a little bit. And I couldn't tell too much about who was sitting around, but Joe recognized that the young fellow that had come out here a few days ago, Dennis, the one that had given his heart to God, Brother Dennis Holman, he was sitting over there with his wife. And as I had my back to them, and I started to leave, and when I did, Dennis turned, and I saw him and recognized him. It's kind of like in the shadows over there, and I walked over, and he wanted to introduce me to his wife. And his wife, Mary, was sitting there, and we gave her an invitation to come out here and meet our sisters and to meet our wife. And I was telling her, you know, that she'd really enjoy meeting some of these people. And you know, that's strange because they don't live in Monroe, or he doesn't. And out of that time of day, at that particular time, we go over to the Mexican restaurant, and there they are. See, that had to be a miracle. And the Lord had it right there so that that boy's desire, because he had so much confidence in this out here, God answered his desire, just like I told him that God would do something for his wife. And God answered the boy's desire to the extent that the very moment that they come together, something happened, that they were together right there. And I think they'd been separated, two little children. And there they were together right at the very time that the minister goes up there. See, that couldn't be no coincidence, folks. That shows you the mighty power of God, and that shows you that Christ is with you, and Christ is in your midst. He's doing all kinds of things for you. Shutting down Monroe like he did when they interfered with your school out here in an operation for God. He just shut them down up there. Just emptied the courthouse, and they ain't got back in it yet. See, don't that make you know God's real? And that God's for you, and that He loves you, and that we ought to be doing all that we can to serve Him. Don't that make you know that you ought to do all you can to serve God? My, this is the time to serve God and to shine like a light, to let your light shine. See, let's do all we can for people like people in Rwanda, over in Nigeria. I wanted to get back so much and I haven't been able to get back. And now the government switched over there. And I just got a report today. Said it's horrible over there. They're beginning to attack the police and beginning to attack bystanders. And now they're beginning to fight and kill one another. See, everywhere the Bible said in the nations were angry. And everybody's becoming angry. Every nation is becoming angry. And it was right at the time of the sounding of the last trumpet when the mistress was to be finished and the end of the world was there. And he said, the nations were angry. And already they're angry. Everywhere you read, they're angry. In Korea, just before God let that man die over there, they were about ready to rise up against America. And here America is with her foolishness and all these kind of things. Supposedly the example of the world. And look what she's doing. And just wandering around in the condition that she is. And look at our president just acting like something that's a renegade that don't have any sense and intelligence at all. And continuing, his wife, continuing to do the evil, a base thing that they're doing. And nobody's doing anything about it. Somebody would say, well, I think they're... Nobody's doing anything about it. They remain right up there going right on the same way. Say, well, there's nothing they can do. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. People can always do something if they will do it. If nothing but just the churches themselves came together, and marched on Washington. Just the churches came together and marched on Washington and marched around that Capitol saying, we will have a change in the government. We are the people, and we the people are the government, and there's going to be a change in the government. I guarantee you God would do something. I tell you something else. Not only that, but the government would do something. The authorities would do something. That's right. The Bible said if my people that are called by my name will call on heaven, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. And I believe that. I believe that. There ain't nothing too hard for God. I believe that. I believe that. While we lift our hands up together and worship the Lord for just a few minutes in song, let's just thank the Lord for the privilege tonight of being here and having the fellowship one with another in these wonderful things of God. It's so good that you still have your church. It's so good. Just remember now, if that card comes out, that means you can't buy or sell. If you don't have a social security number, you can't buy or sell. I said this thing will come through a social security number years ago. and they started to put in everything, the social security number. Now, right, the driver's license, everything. You can't have a driver's license. You can't have a job. You can't have a business. You can't have anything. That means you can't buy nor sell nor eat if you don't have the card. Now, put it all together and see if that's what the letter was saying. So you're not going to be able to do it. It's going to be forced on you, and you will do it. Somebody said, well, I'll be brave and not do it. When that tummy starts calling for food, you're going to do it. Watch and see. You already compromise as it is with the things as it is, and won't listen to the preacher and won't keep your thoughts right and won't do right already. See, and if you're going to do that, don't you know you're going to, when it comes to eating and you hear them babies crying or anything else, don't you know that you're going to go that way? Oh, somebody says, but Brother Pike, during that time there won't be any babies. You're all mixed up. You're all mixed up. Somebody's been telling you the wrong thing. When these things come to pass, you're going to take that mark. And you better pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape those things. That is, get out of here in the translation before those things get here. And it's going to take place. There's something already happening. I'm telling you, can't believe it. You say, I don't see anything. I know you don't see anything. You don't see that card, do you? You don't see that happening in Washington, do you? But nevertheless, it's still happening. That's reports. That comes from Washington. That letter's authentic. That ain't something we hatched up. See, you don't see anything because you don't understand. Maybe one of these nights we'll expound as to what the world is and try to bring it to you in some way to where you can understand. But you're going to have to apply yourself. The reason I haven't tried to teach it, because it's a spiritual thing and you never would understand it. You'd just reflect it. You'd be right back where you started. And I was hoping that we'd come to some kind of understanding that when I brought those things out, that you would understand what I'm saying and be able to grasp what I'm trying to show you about the translation text. Somebody says, Brother Pike, I don't believe it's taking place. It's already taking place. I told my wife today, I said, Betty, they got to come to understand. I'm not waiting for something to take place. The church isn't waiting for something to take place. It's already taking place. Oh, no. Somebody says, I don't see it. I know you don't, because you're blind. If the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. Jesus said, Pharisees and scribes, you're blind. God's in your midst, and you can't see Him. Let's give the Lord a hand. And said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. The days of the Gentiles about over. God's been in their midst and been visiting them. They ain't seen Him yet. Jesus said, you haven't seen His shape nor heard His voice at any time. All right, we're not children of the darkness. We can see, we can understand. We're children of light. That day isn't going to come upon us unaware. We're going to know about it. I know about it. Don't you know about it? All right, let's sing another little chorus together. We're already in the right key, Brother Taylor, to start with. I love Him. Now Jesus said, if you love Me, you'll keep My commandments. Are you keeping the commandments of the Lord? If you're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, how could you love Him? To love Him. Somebody says, I believe, Brother Pike. I believe. I got all kinds of faith. The Bible said that the child is known by his doings, and that I'll show you My faith by what I'm doing. Are you doing the right thing? Are you doing what the Bible says? Do you understand what the Bible says so you can do it? Are you making any effort as to what the Bible is telling you to do? Do you know what the Bible wants you to do? Have you took enough time to even understand the Bible? I don't see you doing what the Bible tells you to do. The Bible said that you're to do these things. You're to do these things that I expound to you and teach you. Are you doing these things? No. No, you're not. I see you every day. I see some of you making some effort, but folks, getting down to business and really doing these things is what God said, going on to perfection. Let us go on to be perfect. Let us go on to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. See, be ye therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. See, this is what we're supposed to do. Forsake your sins. Turn away from your sins. Lift up your heart to God. Lift up your face to God. Lift up your understanding toward heaven. Let God enlighten your eyes of understanding so that you can comprehend with the transformating of the mind, height, depth, width, and length of the change of this body until it's like the sunshine shining within your strength to change and transfigure you
into that wonderful, wonderful understanding in light of the wisdom of God. Cause that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. One more time together, let's sing it now. So I love him. I wonder if Brother Fontaine had come up and dismiss us. Brother Fontaine loved me. Can you close your eyes? Lift up your hands to God. Worship the Lord. Let the Spirit of Christ be in you. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And His Spirit is His mind, His Word, Spirit of holy, godly, pure, wonderful, encouraging, faith, thought, virtuous thoughts, holy, unadulterated thought, no fault-finding thoughts, yea and amen thoughts, of purity and holiness and godliness, hoping all things, believing all things, looking to God. That's what God is looking for. Do you have that kind of mind? The Bible said, let it be in you. You have to allow it to be in you. It can't just be in you. You got to allow it to be in you. See, you got to make allowance for it. Let it be in you. That's where the faith is that was once delivered to the saints that we're supposed to contend for. The early church was looking for that faith. The faith of Joshua that stopped the sun. The early church said, contend for that faith that Moses had when he opened the Red Sea and when the waters of the Jordan rolled back. The faith of Elijah when he prayed and it rained and it rained. He prayed before it did not rain. And then when he prayed again, it rained. Think, if you could pray 3 years and keep it from raining, folks would know that was God. And then pray again, said, I'm going to call for rain and rain. And the Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion, the same as you. Said, you're sons of God. The least is greater than Elijah. That's the Son of God. That's the body of Christ. Say what you will. See, we need to live closer. We need to get our conscience straight now. We need to live right. We need to walk right. Walk upright. And then we can say what we want to. Say what we will. And it'll be done. I love him. Brother Fontaine. I love him.